Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you've had a good, productive start to the week after what I hope was a fun, thought-filled weekend, talking about anything and everything other than the Green Bay Packers. But then we always reconvene here Monday through Friday, Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. It's what we do, people. Of course, not a ton of headlines as usual, waiting for OTAs to come around in a couple weeks here. And the Packers did, put the news together, sign their first-round pick, Matthew Golden, just a little bit ago. It was announced by the team itself, leaving only Anthony Belton as the lone unsigned member of the rookie class. I suspect that will get done prior to OTAs beginning. But yeah, outside of that, not a ton of news, which I don't think, you know, anybody is surprised about. NFL stuff continues to percolate. However, the NFL ownership is meeting in Minneapolis these next 2 days, and they'll be talking about all sorts of stuff, including the Packers' proposal to ban the tush push without any kind of change to the language in the original proposal from a month ago. So I'm fascinated to see whether that gets any traction. I know last time the owners met, there was about a 50-50 split, reportedly, in teams looking to kind of keep it around, teams looking to ban it, etc. Without any change to the language, I am, you know, hesitant to think that this has much of a chance of passing. But you never know what kind of arm twisting and deal making is getting made behind the scenes. So we'll have to wait and see here as this week plays out, as the NFL ownership convenes there in Minneapolis. But for the time being, like I said, not a ton of Packers headlines, but I did want to touch on something that Jason Wilde wrote in one of his millions of versions of content, employment, what have you. I can't keep track of where he's doing what these days. He's with something called Channel 3000, and he wrote a piece about Zach Tom not being immune from the Packers' competition over everything approach when it comes to his starting gig at right tackle, something that I think a lot of folks, including myself, had kind of at least penciled in, if not put down in pen, as far as, well, they're going to sign Zach Tom to an extension prior to the start of camp, and he's going to be their long-term, maybe not solution, but their core member of an offensive line that has been pretty good during his time wherever he's been asked to play. And this is pretty much set from the public standpoint. And I thought this was a really good catch by Jason, because it is kind of one of those things where you get these guys up at the podium, and Adam Stenovich was at the podium earlier last week talking about all manners of things on the offensive side of the ball. And it's that, you know, you talk about, oh, there's going to be competition, and yeah, we've heard, get the best five out there, definitely going to have competition. We've heard Matt and Brian both talk about competition at left tackle. But it is interesting to note, and like I said, Jason caught this, because it's not something that immediately struck me when I heard it, but I went back and played it after Jason wrote this piece, and he's not only dead on regarding Stenovich very clearly saying there's going to be competition at both tackle spots. But to my eyes and ears, going back and watching Steno in this kind of press conference, he not only says it point blankly, but he kind of maneuvers himself to make sure he says it, to make sure that the public knows, that we know, the media, fans, what have you. Oh, the right tackle is not settled. I mean, that is, again, that's not where I've been operating from. I don't think a lot of folks have been operating from that idea, as far as, again, we've talked a lot about Rashid Walker and probably Jordan Morgan competing at left tackle. That's something Brian point blank said into a microphone earlier this offseason. Matt LaFleur has mentioned the left tackle competition. This is the first I've heard that I can remember, and correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but that's the first kind of public kind of talking point that we've ever gotten this offseason regarding Zach Tom having to win the job at right tackle. Again, I think a lot of folks had been operating under the assumption, well, they're going to sign him to a deal and that's your right tackle. And it's interesting, because my knee-jerk response when reading both kind of Jason's piece, the headline, what have you, and then going back and listening to you know, Steno's availability, my knee-jerk response is, as this title suggests, is what more does Zach Tom have to do? Like, I'm not sitting here saying he's a flawless player. Nobody in the league is, right? And I understand he did not have a phenomenal year last year. I thought he had a really good year on balance. I think it was a bit inconsistent at the start of the season. He settled in greatly to, I want to say, like, second half of the year, but certainly last three-fourths of the year, really, until you get to the playoff game in Philadelphia, where I think he had his worst game of the season, unfortunately. Talk about bad timing. Now, you could make the case, well, a lot of folks had their worst game against the Eagles last season, and that's true, but you want your best players to be at their best against the best. And so, my knee-jerk reaction was, this feels like a little too cute, a little much, a little cutting off your nose to spite your face, as far as you've got a really good player in Zach Tom. And I understand the idea of getting your best five out there and wanting competition across the board, but this almost feels a little overboard in that regard. At some point, don't you want to have a core of players that you can count on, that you know who they are and what they do, and you don't have to continuously put them up for audition, so to speak? But then on the flip side, and this is, as the more I thought about it, if there is a staff, and I say this quite a bit when I'm talking about the Packers and being asked about them and this coaching staff in particular, and LaFleur, and that's where it starts, right? His kind of mindset when it comes to the offensive line in particular. If there is a staff that we have seen time and again looking at turning over every single stone and making sure that we are going to have competition at all five spots, and there are going to be guys, and there are no unicorns, there are no untouchables, there are no guys that are beyond reproach. I mean, I think the last one person we saw like that prior to his injury was David Bakhtiari, right? Outside of that, there haven't been a whole lot of guys that they considered untouchable, unmovable, beyond reproach when it comes to possible competition. And I think on balance, they've been pretty damn successful with this approach. I mean, to the point where a couple of years ago, right, they were having open kind of rotational slash competitions during the season at left tackle and right guard almost all the way through the year. Again, that is not how I was ever, I'm not going to say raised, but my lifetime, that is not how offensive line has been handled ever, right? It's always, you've got to find those five guys. You've got to be able to work together. You want continuity along your offensive line. You want these guys to know each other really well and to know the combinations and to be able to work together. And that fluidity and that combination and sticking together, that's what breeds high-end offensive line play. But I will say, the more you think about the modern game and the NFL as it is right now and how poor offensive line play is across the league, and that is not hyperbole. That is, you can talk to anybody in the league, you can talk to players, coaches, what have you, comparative to what it was really pre this latest CBA. Offensive line play is rough in general. And, you know, the Packers have actually been very good at finding lots of different guys, lots of different types, producing that competition and finding combinations that work really well. And they've done that with lots of competition and having no sacred cows and being able to throw competition at different spots in a way that really has not been the norm traditionally in the NFL. But I do think because of the way the NFL kind of treats the position now, your inability to work together in the offseason, no padded work for the majority of the time that they're together, you do need guys who are cross-trained, who do compete, that have the ability to play across maybe not all five spots, because I think that's a pretty big outlier, but to play multiple spots at least. The Packers have been a bit ahead of the curve in that regard. And I do think continuing to push Zach Tom in this kind of manner makes some sense. So I'm of kind of two minds of this, and I know that's doesn't produce great content because I'm not having a hot take and I'm not telling the Packers they're idiots and I'm not completely patting them on the back, but I do have two reactions to it, you know, but my gut visceral reaction was, what more does Zach Tom have to do? Like, I understand you can go back and you can point out, like I said, he had a really bad game against the Eagles in the playoffs. You can go back to the first snap in Detroit, big game, national television, and he gets beat by just got off the couch Za'Darius Smith on the first play of the game, right? Matt's trying to push the ball down the field, trying to take a shot early, and your best offensive lineman gets beat off the snap. And I understand those are things that kind of maybe play in the mind a little bit throughout an offseason, what have you. But on balance, you look at Zach's year last year, and he was really damn good. He's a damn good football player, and he's certainly their best offensive lineman. I mean, I don't, you know, Elgton Jenkins, I love Elgton, and you're going to probably see him become a very, very good center. But I think Zach's your best offensive lineman. And to have him continuously needing to reprove himself, it's an interesting approach. I'll just say that. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. Speaking of the comments, how are you all doing? Good to see you all. Lots of folks checking in. Chuck Olson's here, of course. Ben Rock, Gino, how are you? And, of course, Brandy's here. Before I get going, before I get to your comments and your questions, let me give a shout-out to our friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Ticket King is based in Wisconsin since 1992. They're located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-thru window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or in the schedule on our app. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. All right, folks, what do we got going here? We got people chiming in, starting with Ryan. Thanks for being a care of the G Club, man. I'm thinking about going to a couple games this season, but $500 to $700 a ticket might be a little too much for me. Completely understand, especially if you're looking at that Cowboys game. Holy Toledo. I was going through the schedule the other day and looking at ticket prices, and man, that Cowboys game is insane. That's a pretty penny. But I hear you, man. It is tough. It's a tough balance if you're buying tickets, especially this early, and that's the kind of balance you have to kind of go through as far as, well, do you want to make sure? Do you want to absolutely lock in your tickets now? Or do you want to wait? I understand you can wait, and you can certainly always get tickets. That's not a question. Corey and I talk about that on Transplants all the time. But getting your tickets now certainly gives you that kind of locked in, plan your whole kind of week / weekend, get your hotel, etc. Gets that all locked in and off your mind. So there's pros and cons, but I hear you, man. The ticket prices are no joke. NFL attendance is not for the weak of heart. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. Hope you're doing well. How would you go about improving run blocking on the O-line while maintaining pass blocking is the question, I think. It's always a balance, right? I do think the Packers have almost year in, year out, over the course of certainly during Matt's time in town, but even going back to McCarthy's days, they've been a pass pro unit first. You know, they've emphasized pass protection for good reason. It's a passing league. Points come through the passing game. Points come through explosive plays, which requires you to hold up front. It is all about protecting the quarterback, because it is the quarterback himself is such a huge investment. But you've certainly seen an emphasis placed on the running game in Green Bay, certainly through Matt's tenure, but absolutely much more so last season, kind of a change in their approach in the running game, the types of runs they call. They've run a little less zone, a little more power, a little more gap, and those certainly require guys that can fire off the ball and move some bodies in a way that the Packers have not traditionally looked for in the past. They've been much more of a zone athlete, get out in space, use that zone blocking technique to create creases and lanes for the back to put his foot in the ground and get upfield. Whereas now it feels like they're trying to create a few more holes and fire off the ball a little bit more and give Josh Jacobs a little bit more room to operate. Because for as productive as they were last season, and I know you guys, if you've been here on daily for most days in or off season, I've talked about this a lot, but you know, for all the production they had last year, and Josh Jacobs was certainly a welcome addition, he did a lot of work at or even behind the line of scrimmage to create things out of nothing. There were plenty of plays in the run game last year where it was not blocked well, you know, and the blocking was not up to snuff, up their standard, so to speak. I do think the Aaron Banks addition is a pretty significant signal of what they want to do or continue to evolve in as far as working a lot more with those kind of power schemes and things that can move the line of scrimmage a little bit more and give Josh Jacobs a little bit more kind of operating room, so to speak, and fewer hits at or behind the line of scrimmage where he has to work as hard as he did last year to create something out of nothing. But I also think, you know, I think you're going to see a lot more 12 personnel this year. Speaking of Stanovich at the podium, he talked about that, use of two tight ends, being able to open up the play action game a little bit more. And talking about pass pro and hopefully helping seal those edges. And I do think for, you know, as much as we've talked about beefing up the offensive line, obviously the Belton addition is part of that. You know, I don't think there's any doubt that this is a team that is going to want to continue to be multifaceted up front and not just try to do one thing or the other. And that's why they're having as much competition across the offensive line as they reportedly are going to, you know. Now we'll see how it shakes out. You can go through the history of offseason quotes and look at things that were said that were never implemented, or, you know, you get to training camp and all of a sudden all the stuff that was talked about that offseason has been changed for whatever reason. But the way they're talking and the way they've drafted and the way they've kind of gone about things this offseason would lead you to believe that, yeah, there's going to be a ton of competition up front for much, you know, doing with the reasons you're asking about there, Brandy. Big Al, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, which position is the biggest question mark for you? Is it cornerback or our defensive line? And why, by the way, Packers extend Elton Jenkins? Extend Elton Jenkins. Is that news? Did that just happen? You guys always say these things. I'm just making sure I'm not missing anything. Will they extend Elton Jenkins? Is that what you're asking? Because I don't see any news of it right now. Will they? I don't know. I doubt they extend him. I think they'll do some kind of adjustment. I did talk about this pretty at length with Justice a couple weeks ago. Make sure you check that video out, because I do think they're in a bit of a tricky spot. There's no doubt about that. But as far as which position is the biggest question mark, cornerback or defensive line, I actually think they can win with the guys they have in general at both position groups, but I think the bigger question mark is across the defensive line. With the defensive backs and the cornerback room in particular, I've certainly seen enough to say, yep, they can certainly run everything they want to in Halfley's scheme and not kind of get in trouble, so to speak. And I think they've added with Hobbs, they've got lots of versatility there. No, they have a bona fide superstar corner. No, they don't, but they've got plenty of bodies and plenty of talent to win. Where the question mark for me is along the defensive line. I don't think anybody who's watched this channel for any amount of time is going to be mystified by my answer here, because, you know, it's the area where, yes, they have invested certainly across that defensive front in the past, but they certainly didn't do so this offseason, other than a few additions on day three of the draft. They are certainly expecting a lot more from guys who are already on the squad. They're looking for a spark, clearly, from DeMarcus Covington, their new defensive line coach. But you're talking about heading into the year and what was a monster issue last year as far as getting home with just four and a straight four-man rush, not trying to gin stuff up, not trying to trick people up front, just rushing four. It was a major problem last year. And they're going to try and do it again with basically the same guys. Now, yes, they have a couple rookies in the hopper here that will hopefully add to the mix and add some talent. But their main driver here is clearly expectation and expecting improvement from those frontline guys. So that, do you talk about question mark? That's the question mark to me. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. How do O-linemen communicate with each other when they are in a loud dome with hands that are tape finger singles? Might be tough. It's really, most of it is just by rote as far as the practice you get during the week. As far as silent count goes, most of it is rhythmic. It's just getting into a rhythm and knowing kind of the call and then whatever adjustments are having to be made by the center or quarterback. Lots of times you'll see guys, sometimes the quarterback will lean over and you'd be yelling at the line in a dome when it's really loud. Sometimes the center's just shouting But more often than not, if you have to go on silent count, if it is really loud, it's just about banked reps and rhythm and knowing, okay, we don't have a lot of opportunity to do a lot of different things and kind of try and do as much as we would at home for certain, right? You just don't have the time. You don't have the ability. A lot of that is just kind of inherent as far as the reps you've put together in those environments in the past. Patrick, thank you for the super chat, man. Sources. Woody's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, met last week with 10-year-old Andy to clarify the Cowboys' status in the toy room after the boy acquired Buzz Lightyear. Andy said it will not affect Woody's status as his favorite toy. Patrick, that is an incredible allegory. I'm deeply impressed with your use of NFL news and Toy Story lore. Well played. I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad at all, Patrick. Dutifully impressed. Brandy, great question. How much does a good blocking wide receiver / tight end augment the line? Well, the tight end certainly helps when they're in line as far as either run blocking or pass blocking. Now, sometimes that will be at the discretion of the quarterback to keep him in, so to speak, because maybe there is a guy who's taking advantage of your tackle and you're having trouble getting things off and you maybe know to keep him in, or you sense that there's going to be a blitz from that side, so you keep the tight end in. But you can remember Aaron Rodgers back in the day saying he preferred more guys out in the routes to give him more options of getting rid of the football. If they are going to be in pressure, that means he can get it out of his hand. But as far as the wide receivers go, obviously they really come into play in the run game. Lots of times, anything you see that busts open on the perimeter as far as going from a 2 or 3 or even 4 or 5 yard gain into a 12 to 15 to 20 yard gain, that only happens if you have good, solid run blocking from your wide receivers. You've got to be able to take care of those corners, safeties, even at times linebackers, where if you don't make that block, yeah, he's going to make the tackle and your guy's going to have a limited gain. But if you do have that wide receiver and he's able to kind of seal that edge or throw that guy out the club, you've got all sorts of room to play with as a ball carrier. So it's certainly significant. And it is one of the things that Matt's always harping on, and the Packers certainly accentuate when they look, you know, when they practice, but certainly when they look at guys to bring in, are they able to, or do they have the mental makeup to do it? You could coach it, obviously, but you've got to be able to find guys who are not only, you know, willing blockers, but, you know, who take to coaching and have the kind of aptitude to learn and hone their technique and become better at it. Autumn, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate it. Why do the Packers not share the full pressers of the assistant coordinators? I have to troll X to find snippets of videos. I'd love to watch their full interviews. Well, Autumn, you can. As far as the coordinators go, their full pressers are available on the Packers YouTube channel or on Packers.com. I talked about this on Friday, actually. But the assistant coaches, like, you know, Butkus has quotes in Jason's piece that I talked about earlier that were available to the guys and gals in the room, but were never made public in video form for us to consume as public members of the public. And it drives me nuts because people like yourself, Packers fans all over the world, are very interested in hearing from these guys. So, unfortunately, if it is, say, the running backs coach like Ben Searmans, or if it is Butkus, or if it is, Sean Mannion or whoever, any of the assistant coaches, there is no availability. There is no recording of it. And they used to, years ago, they used to have all those guys recorded and on video and available for the public. But for whatever reason, they stopped doing it, and it drives me nuts. I'm much like you. I like have to kind of sift through stories and quotes from Twitter to find out what's being said. And it does drive me a little insane. But what are you going to do except complain about it? All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Whoa, Menace in here with a late super chat. What's going on, man? More irritating, the Vikings stupid chant or the Vikings stupid horn or just the Vikings in general. Goodness, I despise the Vikings. Anyway, go Pack, go. Oh, it's absolutely the horn. Like, the horn is never going to be beat for annoyance. Like, look, the chant is annoying. They stole it from the Iceland team. Like, I get it, and it's annoying, sure, no question about it. But, you know, they do it at the start and maybe they do it a couple times during the game. I don't have a problem with that. Like, it is what that's their thing. Fine. That horn after every first down or every third down stop, whatever, that drives me insane. And it makes me want to do bad things. Like, you talk about a Joker origin story, the horn will get me there someday. I am absolutely convinced of it. So if you see some headline someday that I've been arrested and I've done something terrible, and they're going to throw me in jail and throw away the key, it's because of that damn horn. The horn, without question, is more annoying. All right, buddy, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.